You are now entering the Cave of Solitude.
Welcome to the show, y'all. It's the Cave of Solitude.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Cave of Solitude. I am your host, Eric Anthony. And this week, you're in for a treat. We've got first of our many multi-pod crossover episodes and collaborations with the Fastball Special. If you were tuned in to our last episode where we covered the Netflix Iron Fist series, you were introduced to longtime listener and friend of the show, Martin Slam Duncan. And on the show, he made the special announcement that he would be launching his own podcast. And you can find it at www.thefastballspecial.com. He has it up and running. There are episodes there posted now. So if you're a fan of the Cave of Solitude, you will definitely be a fan of the Fastball Special. It's like our show, but very unique in its own way. He's going to be talking about some of the things that we don't get a chance to talk about. He's going to have various guests on there going through things such as comic books and wrestling and movies and all that kind of stuff. So if you're a fan of the Cave of Solitude, definitely check out the Fastball Special. You will be in for a treat. So I want to say congrats to Martin Slam Duncan for the launch of his show, for including the Cave of Solitude in that effort. And for this first collaboration that we've got going on, we're going to be doing a really fun look through the Previews magazine and catalog that you find at your local comic book shops every month. Special shout out to Gotham Central and Carlos there for giving us both a copy of the Previews magazine so that we can do our window shopping for the books that are going to be shipped in this coming this summer of 2017 as well as the early fall. So we hope you enjoy the show and don't forget to check out the Fastball Special. Enjoy the show, everyone.
3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Fastball Special, the comic and pop culture podcast, episode number 2. I'm your host, Slam Duncan. Today on your show, we have a special guest, the veteran podcaster, the godfather of pod, coming at you straight from the Cave of Solitude, Mr. Eric Anthony. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on the show, Mr. Slam Duncan. It is my privilege and honor to be here with you. And I don't know about the godfather. We'll call it the podfather.
The podfather. I like that. Good. I was actually going to say you need a nickname.
I know, right?
I got Slam Duncan.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, he's got such a cool nickname. I just go by like my regular name, and I don't know what I should come up with. I'll leave it to the listeners. They can come up with something.
I got one written down.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You want to tell me now or later?
You ready? We're going to tell you right now. Okay, okay. You ready? Ready for this?
I'm ready.
Eric, the Vigilanthony.
The Vigilanthony. That's good. That's good.
It's not really good, but yeah.
It's not bad. I like
the Vigilanthony.
The Vigilanthony. I'll run it by Daft J.
All right.
See what she thinks.
All right.
She'll probably like it because you came up with it, so.
All right. Give it a try. Introducing Eric, the Vigilanthony. I like it. All right. All right. All right.
Sound effects and everything.
Sound effects and everything. Okay, so every show that we're doing, we want to do a little bit of a theme to the show. So this theme I thought was really cool. This is the brainchild of Eric, so I'm going to let him maybe introduce what we're going to be doing today and the format of this. So take it away, Eric.
All right, so I'm a avid listener of other podcasts, and I've always liked when guys kind of talked about things that were coming out to hit our local comic book shops, things that are noteworthy to pay attention to or things to order online. And I've always wanted to do an episode like that, but I love all my co-hosts, but they're not interested in the previews of the comics world. So you were kind enough to hook us up with I'm pointing at it like we're on a video pod. the previews for this upcoming order, which is I think at the end of April 27th, if I'm not mistaken. I just wanted to flip through it, see the upcoming storylines, newsworthy things, things that are coming back. And I've never done something like that before. I did it with the guys at the Cyber City, but we just covered like Marvel's relaunch of something, which was, you know, very slim as far as the whole everything in comics. So I thought we should go through the previews together.
Sounds good. And for those people that don't know what the previews are, essentially it's a catalog of all the upcoming comics, right? They have a little bit of blurb about what all the comics are, who's in them. It's got a little bit of a sales pitch. So I was actually really excited to do this because I don't have a regular pull list anymore, but I had a pull list, and every month I'd go through this thing, and the sales pitch is really good. and then I ended up getting a whole bunch of comics. So I was actually really excited for that, but for another reason. I don't know if you did the same thing, but when I was a kid, getting ready for Christmas, we used to get the Consumers Distributing catalog.
Oh, that was the best magazine.
and the Sears catalog. And I used to go through this thing because I figured, I got to drop some hints, right? So I go through the toy section with a pen and just circle all the things that I want so that when my parents would go through, they would know, what I wanted. So this kind of reminded me of that, just going through and thinking of, oh, man, all these things that I want, because there are toys in here too.
That's true. I never thought of it like that. I used to love that. I mean, it didn't have to be any special occasion. I just looked at that thing all the time, wishing what I wanted to get. But this is exactly the same thing, but it's right. Specifically tailored to us.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So I thought it was a cool idea, and I think it's going to make for a cool pod. So we'll get into it. So if you want to take the lead, we're going to start off, I think, with... So there's two catalogs. There's the Marvel Previews, which is sort of its own thing. But then we have another catalog, which has all the different other companies in it. So maybe we'll go with the thicker one, the non-Marvel one, I guess.
Yeah, okay, work? Good idea. Okay. Yeah, sounds good to me.
Great.
So the first thing that I noticed in the I'm not exactly sure. I think it's the Free Comic Book Day section where they're kind of previewing all the stuff that is going to be coming out. Is it May 6th, Free Comic Book Day?
It's May 6th, yeah.
May 6th, right?
Yeah.
So the one thing that caught my attention, I don't know, are you a big Free Comic Book Day kind of guy? Like you grab everything you can, or... So, do you just go to the store for the sales?
So the way I prep for this show is I basically put sticky notes on all the pages that I want to talk to. Right? Okay. And it's actually quite funny because we had that conversation. I think you did similar things, but I think your sticky notes were better, color-coded and all that. But yeah, the first thing I did was sticky note the Free Comic Book Day, just to have a little bit of a talking point on that. So yeah, what do I do on Free Comic Book Day? I like, because it's like a sort of a celebration of comics. I think that in some cases they have artists come and show up, and I love, talking to artists and things like that. And it's a big deal, right? Like I like to support our local comic book shop, and I think this is also them trying to give back as well. Because these free, we have to call it free comic books, but the shops actually pay for these comic books, right? That's so true. They're bringing people in. What is your thought actually on this? Do you think it's a good thing, or what's your thought?
I think it's good at getting people into the store, getting them excited for an event. Any type of comic book event always makes me happy, especially when it attracts new readers. The thing that I've heard from my comic book shop is that a lot of times people come in once a year just to grab the free comics, and they never come back again to support the shop. So that's the part that kind of frustrates me. But I think it's cool for your shop, if you want to shout them out. Yep. They have artists that come to the shop. I think that makes it an even bigger event that you're able to do something like that. Do they have a sale on that day, your comic shop?
Oh yeah, they always do sales. What's actually, I don't know if you heard the last episode, hopefully some of the listeners have. If they haven't, I encourage them to do so. There was actually a sketch-off that I was talking to at Gotham Central Comics and Collectibles in Mississauga. And what they did is they had 16 artists do sketches, and they were going head-to-head, and based on the votes, they'd be eliminated. But one of the cool things that Gotham Central does is every year on Free Comic Book Day, they actually do some sort of charity event. So what they're going to do this year is take all the sketches that were done on Artist Day, and they're going to auction them off. And then all the auction money will go towards one of the hospitals, one of the children's hospitals, a charity. So I think that's pretty cool too.
Yeah, that is pretty awesome. Yeah, that's really cool. My comic book shop, what Daryl does at Cyber City is he gets all of his regular customers to fill out like a little sheet of all the things that they want so that they can avoid if they can't make it on that day, they still get all of the things that they want to get ahead of time. So there's like a little pull list for what everybody wants, which is kind of cool. But lately, the last couple of years, I haven't been as like excited for just the giveaway stuff, because they usually reprint them in the trade that I end up buying. Right. So I'm never like, oh, I have to get this. But in this previews, the one thing that caught my attention, and it probably did yours too, was the Exo Man of War special.
Yes.
I'm not exactly sure how different it is from what we've had so far.
It doesn't matter.
It just looked, it was Exo. It was something I didn't have, and I wanted it.
Yeah.
So that, to me, that's one of those things that, like, yes, I have to read whatever Valiant's doing. I'm a big Valiant fan. And on that same page was the Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. Those Zelda trades that they've been releasing kind of piqued my interest. I'm not a huge Zelda player, but I've played Ocarina of Time, and I wonder how good the books are. They look good.
I leafed through them. They're actually in the manga style, so
yeah,
you have to read them, I guess, back to front.
Yeah.
Well, back from our perspective, front to back in their perspective. But yeah, so I was kind of interested too, because I'm a fan of the series, the video game series. I'm a big gamer. Yeah. So yeah, that sounds pretty cool too. A whole bunch of
Zelda
things.
Game?
Sorry?
You have a favorite Zelda game?
I'm actually liking the new one on the Switch. When it first came out, it was kind of an obsession. So like every night I was playing that thing for a while. I actually stopped playing it for a little bit. I'm going to get back to it. I was trying to get this podcast up and running, so this is kind of my obsession right now, but
good,
I'm sure I'm going to get back to it.
Good trade-off.
One of the other ones that kind of stood out to me, and I don't know if you've read any of it, but the Captain Canuck.
No, I haven't.
The new relaunch of Captain Canuck is actually excellent. The original Captain Canuck, I mean, it's you know, being a Canadian,
right.
a bit of pride. I always like sort of, you know, my favorite comic book here is Wolverine. He's Canadian. But I got to say, there's always that little bit of that cheese factor to the original ones. But I got to say, the new ones are actually done very well. It pokes a little fun at itself. It knows what it is. But the characters are actually pretty compelling. There's a great little online series of Captain Canuck. If you go to the website, there's like a web series that you could check out. I highly recommend checking that out. It's like little animated shorts of the show. So check that out. But yeah, I was pretty impressed with the relaunch of this thing. So I'd be interested in that one as well.
Who's the main artist on the Captain Canuck? Because I see that there's a couple of people, but isn't Leonard Kirk one of the guys who is on it regularly?
It's a lot of the local folks, right? Calvin, and I'm trying to remember his name.
I can't say his name. Yeah. Andrzejowski. Oh, it's gonna. I'm gonna see his name on the website, and it's gonna drive me crazy.
Apologies if you're listening.
Yeah.
But Leonard Cook is definitely one. So yeah, it's a pretty cool kickoff, and I actually like the cover that they're showing here on Free Comic Book Day. So yeah, I'm gonna probably grab. I'm not gonna grab all of them, but I'm probably a few select. Like I said, the stores are paying for them, and they're giving them out. And I think at my store they're doing, I say it's my store, but my local store that I go to, they're doing, you know, pick up eight, I think around 5 to 8, whatever ones you want to pick up, and they're free for you. It's also kind of cool to see the kids get excited about this stuff. So there's usually a number of like children's comics, children friendly comics that they could sort of pick up. So those kind of events, you know, getting them excited in comic books, getting them excited in reading at an early age, right?
I think that's something that's missing now. Like we were kids growing up reading this stuff, and I don't think it's as prevalent anymore for kids to be reading the comics the way we once did, because they've catered it to the aging audience.
Yeah.
So sometimes that's like a demographic I feel like gets forgotten. And then it comes to do it. And there's so much other media that kids have now where getting them to read something is, I think, important.
It is. And there's a lot of, I mean, there is some kids' titles, but all the main ones, like the ones that kids know about, even the Batmans and the Supermans, not all of them are very kid-friendly, right? So, you know, they know the Batman, but they can't really, they're not really allowed to read the Batman because there's a lot of things going on in that. So,
and everything's written now in like a trade format, right? So it's like we used to pick up issues and be like one or two issues, you get a story. Now you have to read six.
Exactly.
In order to understand the whole thing, right?
You're right. You're right. You're locked into an arc.
Right? Yeah, all the time.
So full disclosure, even before we get into this, I'm a trade paperback reader now, so I haven't been really keeping up a lot with the newer stuff. What I've been doing, actually lately I've been just reading mostly Valiant stuff, so I'm a little bit more familiar with that. But some of this stuff here, I might not be as up to date with the storylines. So Eric, I'm hoping that you're going to be able to help me a little bit out with this.
I'll try my best.
on some of the speculation and stuff.
Yeah, no, I've traded to trades as well. After a while, like I just found myself, especially when DC did the rebirth, I was trying every title for a while to see what was good and what was amiss, but I started buying too much and it was like, I can't keep up with this. I got to go to trades. So I'll try my best to give you a heads up of what's worth checking out as best as I can.
Sounds good. All right. What else you got?
Okay. Do you got anything in the Dark Horse section? I don't think I have anything in the Dark Horse section.
Yes. So American Gods. So this is on, for those who want to follow along with their previews, this is on page 48. Okay. So I'm not too familiar with the America. I haven't read the American Gods novel. I believe it's a novel adaptation, and I believe that there's also going to be a Star show coming out based on American Gods. But the reason that it sort of caught my attention is that it's a Neil Gaiman comic, and I'm a big fan of the Sandman series. It's one of my favorite comics growing up and reading, so I'm very curious to see what this is all about. I do know that this is a very celebrated comic, or story from Neil Gaiman, so it did catch my eye, and I'm just looking at the cover. The cover is actually really cool. So let's see what else, if I got anything else from Dark Horse. Black Hammer as well.
Yes, Black page 51, actually, Department H and yes. Black Hammer.
Yes.
Both titles I'm actually reading. Really, really good stuff.
Yeah.
Really, that's I'm not buying them single issue, but I've read the first trade of first six issues of Black Hammer. I loved it. I've heard rave reviews about it, so I thought I'd give it a chance, and I ended up liking it as much as they said I would.
So the two reasons why I picked these, and I haven't been reading these, but I'm probably going to pick up the trades. Black Hammer, Jeff Lemire. So I like a lot of his stuff.
Yeah,
great stuff. Also, Department H is, I think we'll be talking a lot about Valiant. It's got Matt Kent is also involved with Department H, who I've been reading a lot of the Valiant stuff from him.
Both of these guys have done some stellar work with Valiant.
Yeah.
And I don't think it gets the attention it deserves.
And so
we got to give it that attention, Slam.
And So we're going to do a Valiant episode. You know, this has to happen. We're going to have the Vigilanthony back at some point. The other thing that's cool, it's got a big monster on the cover. And I'm crazy for monsters. So I grew up with the EC comics. Swamp Thing, I'm a big fan of Swamp Thing. This really looks like it's up my alley. So it's something I'm going to definitely probably pick up the trade for.
I think you'd like Department H then as well, because from what I read of it, it's a huge sea monster in that. So,
oh, cool.
I think that's right up your alley too.
Yeah, I'm in. Need more stuff to read.
Yeah, that's what we need.
Yeah.
More stuff to read.
I got a bit of, I call it the pile of shame, which is just a pile of trades that I'm trying to get through. I seem to, every time I read one, I seem to be collecting like three. So at some point, I'll have to take a vacation just to read them all.
Make good use of your long weekend, Slam.
Yeah.
It's hard. I tried this weekend. And you know what? The same thing you said. As soon as I finished the trade I was reading, I looked up for the entire series, how much I could get them all for. It's horrible.
Oh, really?
Anything else in Dark Horse?
I'm jumping over to page 61.
Okay.
So this is the EC. I mentioned EC before. The EC Archives Incredible Science Fiction. So again, I'm a sucker for some of these old EC comics. I think they would really, really surprise people if they went back. A lot of people tend to dismiss these days, especially things that came out of the 60s, but these type of comics, they were not a part of the comics code, right? So these are actually very, very adult oriented comics. If you like any of the shows, like they had a big show, was it not Tales from the Dark Side? Not Vault of Horror. Tales from the Crypt. Tales from the Crypt in the 90s. There was a show, and there's always sort of this twist ending. And a lot of these shows came from the EC Comics. And the art is actually really, really cool. It's sort of a 60s take on, you know, science fiction. And I love that sort of style to these. So this is something I will actually be buying, because I've been collecting all the EC archives and all the EC reprints. They're all in beautiful hardcovers. They did a great job on reprinting all this stuff. So I highly recommend maybe, you know, trying one of these out.
Horror. Well, look at the creative team. You got Al Williamson. You got Wally Wood, Joe Orlando. Like, these are guys who are considered like legends. Yeah. So it's a...
And it reflects in it. Like, I can't say enough about these comics. They are not your typical superhero comics, but the stories are really compelling. The art is amazing. Highly recommend them.
Cool. Yeah, I've never given these a shot, but I also didn't know anybody who actively read or collected them. So to hear, like, the feedback on it, it's good. It's good to know.
I have one more Dark Horse. I'll have to see. The next one is on page 70. Sorry, a bit of a cough. Page 70. So Conan Omnibus, Volume 3.
When I saw that, I thought of you. I said, I wonder if he already has this.
So I actually have some of the original comics, and I have the smaller trades. This is actually the Omnibus. So what I think they've done is they've taken 3 or 4 trades and they've combined them into an Omnibus. So one, just very quickly, and I know I'm spending a little bit of time on these, but I'm a huge Conan fan.
Go for it.
I've got the entire collection of, I'm just looking behind me here, the Savage Sword of Comans. Those are my favorite ones, the big Oversight magazine ones. I've got the Chronicles of Conan, which is the Marvel Conans that have come out. And these actually came out a few years back, and what I really like about these is that they take the original Robert E. Howard stories and then they put them into comic form. So whereas a lot of the Marvels were original stories, which is also neat, but these, the ones that I've actually read in the books, are actually translated over to comics. So I thought that was really cool. And the art in a lot of these are pretty amazing. Not in this not in this particular issue, but Kerry Nord has done a lot of the Conan art. And as you probably know, Kerry Nord has done a lot of the Exo Man of War and things like that. So.
Well, yeah, Thomas Giorello, or Tomas Giorello, he's doing Exo Man of War as well now. So I think that's, you can see the connection between Eric of Dacia and the Conan character. Which is your favorite, if you were to recommend a Conan run or collection, do you think is a definitive one?
That's too hard. I'll have to come back to that one. You know what? We'll do a Conan pod.
A newbie, like a person who's never read Conan? Because there's always the ones that you know as a fan that are superior, but so to somebody who's never read it, what do you think would be the jumping on point?
Okay, so I'll give you a little bit more broader stroke. So if you're looking more for a very gritty, like back to what I was saying with the EC Comics, the Savage Sword of Conan was a very gritty version of the Conan. It has some of the best art. John Buscema was a legend on this run. But it is very violent. They show nudity in it. Again, these are some things from the 70s, whereas the rest of the comic world was very clean with their comics, a little bit, you know, on the younger side. So if you want something a little bit gritty, sometimes it turns people off because it is in black and white and it's not colorized.
That's okay.
For me, I love it because it really shows off the art. And again, I'm a big fan of Buscema. Ernie Chan did a lot of the inks. So that is personally my favorite run. I do.
That's also, Savage Sword.
That's Savage Sword of Conan. You could honestly pick up any of them, and you'll have a good time. The other one that I've kind of enjoyed was, again, the Marvel run. That is a little bit more for nostalgia, but is it Thomas Roy did a really great job on the writing on this. It is still Conan. There is still
Buscema did the art on that too, right?
Yeah, he did some of them as well. And Barry Windsor Smith, who I think is an excellent artist as well. And also with his Wolverine run as well.
Right.
I would definitely say if you're looking for maybe not as gritty, but definitely the job that Dark Horse has been doing and reprinting them, they've really punched up the color. And it really looks even a lot nicer than the original run that I read in the comic books. They're a little bit more on the fantasy side. So whereas the Savage Sword, you know, they dabble a little bit in the wizards and things. It's a little bit more gritty, a little bit more grounded, a lot more, sword fights and things. On the Marvel side, which they're calling the Chronicles of Conan right now, it's a little bit more fantasy, you know, dragons, things like that. So if that's kind of the way you want to go, that's actually a very good run as well.
Got it. Okay. Cool. Right. I've never read Conan before, so I was wondering.
I have a few to lend you if you want.
All right. Shall we move on to DC?
I'm ready.
All right. So the big event, I guess, that they're promoting in this coming out on June 14th is the Dark Days, The Forge. Looks to be a Batman miniseries or the beginning of one. And I think it's the writing team and it's the creative team altogether that makes this a must buy. You got Snyder, James Tynion IV, Jim Lee, Andy Kubert, John Romita Sr. Like, you got to check it out.
It's pretty, pretty stellar cast.
Yeah, and it's a 40-page issue for $4.99, cardstock cover. So, I mean, you know, this is an event-worthy comic that is at least worth checking out. I don't know if it's just a one-shot or if it's going to be an ongoing mini-series.
Well, this one says it's a one-shot.
Okay.
But I suspect it's going to be going throughout all the different series. I'm always a little bit wary of the series that run through a lot of the comics. I think a lot of us have been burnt a few times. I gotta say, based on the creative team alone, it did pique my interest. I have a sticky on it, so
yes.
So I have a sticky on it, so yeah, it definitely piqued my interest alone. But a little hesitant. Because, again, I'm not crazy about these huge overarching stories. But I'm hoping this will be good.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of them having to affect every other title in the line. But I think we could talk a little bit more about that when we get to Marvel. But I have a question. Jim Lee, Andy Kubert, John Romita Jr., who's your guy?
Oh, wow. I'm speechless. Hold on. So these guys are, I will say, I want to go Andy Kubert, even though I'm a big fan of all the three. Jim Lee, has done some stunning things. But just looking at the entire body of work, I would go with Andy Kubert.
I like it. I like the answer. Which is your favorite Andy Kubert stuff?
Oh, man.
There's another tough one.
Oh, that is a tough one. It's a curveball. Curveball and the fastball. Let me think. Andy Kubert. Let me get back to you on that one. Let me think about that one.
A lot of people these days aren't a big fan of JRJR, but I still like him a lot. I still have a soft spot for John Romita. I'm not sure what it is about his. I don't know if it's pacing, if it's the like. I automatically, each of these guys, I automatically recognize their work.
I like his Spider-Man stuff.
I like his Spider-Man a lot.
Yeah,
he's probably my favorite Spider-Man artist, and that's probably why I got the soft spot for him. But I'm excited to read this. This will be cool, and it's a one shot, so I mean, it's not a huge commitment, which is kind of a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kicking it off, so who knows? This could be a classic run. Who knows?
Yeah, it could be.
Let's hope for the best, right?
I'm sure. Well, Scott Snyder's been on quite a winning streak in the last couple of years, so especially with Batman. So I kind of trust him. You're not reading anything Rebirth right now? Nothing ongoing, correct?
No, not really. No.
Okay.
I hear it's pretty good though. I did read some going back. New 52. I read the Batman series, which was probably one of the best Batman series I've ever read. So.
Yeah, I would have to say so too. I'm actually really, I've said this before on my show, but I'm really impressed with the overall line of DC. They've settled everything back into kind of where the character should be. And I'm not reading anything ongoing because of the double shipping, which was also, it was a good thing because each issue was a little cheaper. You're getting more bang for your buck, but to keep up with all these books, if you were buying five titles, you're getting, you know, so many comic books in your shelf or in your bin. Before you knew it, you were just backlogging stuff you had to read. It was kind of taking the fun out of it, even though you were getting more frequently. But everything here on these pages, the Batman, the Detective Comics, the Flash, everything has been pretty stellar so far. So I'm trade waiting on this stuff.
Yep.
Which I think I'll skip to that part of the DC catalog of stuff that I'm going to trade wait on. But if you do choose to read anything from the DC Rebirth, I highly recommend the Peter Tomasi and Patrick Gleason Superman. That's been a really good one.
The Flash is pretty good, too.
Flash is really good as well.
I'm a Flash fan, so if
you're a Flash fan, you'll like it. The I don't know if you read Birthright from Image Comics, which I've heard is really, really strong. And I think it's up your alley because it's about a kid who goes missing, but he gets lost in another dimension in another time. And when he comes back, it's only been a year since he's been gone, but he's grown up to be an adult in that other world where he becomes kind of like their Conan.
Right.
But he comes back now as that Conan and everyone's still looking for him. It's only been a year later. His life has changed completely because he's a full grown adult. But now to everyone else, he's only been gone a year.
Wow.
But he's the guy who's writing The Flash. Joshua Williamson is the name. So yes, it is a good run.
Check that out.
Long story short.
I got an answer for you. Andy Kubert.
There you go.
The X-Men run. He did an awesome X-Men run. Early X-Men comics. He did some pretty amazing covers for some of them on like the Executioner song. I did a little cheating. I went on my phone very quickly to look at a few so it jog my memory. But yeah, I was just like, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, yes, that absolutely. I loved this stuff. His Wolverine was great. His Beast was great. So yeah, that's probably my favorite.
Good pick.
I gotta tell you, and you know this, and I think I've mentioned, or I didn't mention this, but I wrote into your show about the Superman. Not a huge Superman. I'm a huge Superman character fan. Not a huge Superman comic fan. But this kind of intrigued me, this Action Comics run, for the big reason that the Eradicator's in it. So I don't know if the Eradicator is back. So when I was reading Superman, it was back in the 90s. The two big stories were the breaking of the Bat and the death of Superman. And then, you know, of course, as a comic collector at the time, everybody thought, oh man, I better collect all this because it's going to be, you know, it's going to put kids through college and all that sort of stuff. So, not the case.
Boy, were they wrong.
So, I read the entire Death of Superman and then the Rebirth, and then it gave birth to, like, Steel and all these other bizarre characters. But I always thought the Eradicator was a little bit of a... he was a bit of a character for the time. It had the big sunglasses, it had the and all that kind of stuff. So just reading this and knowing that this guy's back kind of made me smile. That's all.
If you like that era of Superman, then what they're doing now, you'll really like it.
Okay.
Because the first arc in Rebirth is a Eradicator story.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's very nostalgic, but in the way where they make it, they give it a lot of heart. It's not just action, if that makes sense. And it's the Clark Kent of that DC universe. It's not the New 52 Clark Kent anymore. It's the one who fought Doomsday, the one that you're referring to. So we all have that kind of attachment to him. Did you notice the DC Looney Tunes crossover stuff? Did that pique your interest at all?
I actually, before I got to that, I a couple more things that I noticed.
Yeah.
Were you ever a Batman Beyond fan? Like the TV show?
I wasn't a fan of the TV show. I really liked the movie, Return of the Joker. Okay. And I liked stuff that was in the Justice League Unlimited series. I really liked that Batman Beyond story arc.
So I highly recommend Batman Beyond, the TV show. And I was a naysayer because I didn't want a new Batman. I didn't want the future Batman.
Who does, right? Yeah.
But they bring Batman back as this withered old mentor, and he's a fantastic character in it.
Yeah.
And when I was looking at this, Batman Beyond number 9, they have sort of Batman Beyond up against Ra's al Ghul, which makes sense because he's immortal. So it makes sense for that era. So it'd be kind of neat to see a crossover, or not a crossover, but a Batman Beyond Terry McGinnis against Ra's al Ghul. It'd be kind of neat to see how that pans out. So that kind of
piqued pretty awesome cover too. I like that.
It's really neat. Yeah. So that kind of piqued my interest a bit.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
The Flash also did as well. Again, mostly for the cover when I looked at it. And I'm trying to remember why I particularly picked this one.
It's the Reverse Flash ripping the suit off of I don't know how to explain it, but it looks like the Reverse Flash coming out of the regular Flash costume.
Right. So it looks like Ebod Thawne is back.
Running Scared prelude.
Green Lantern. I'm just going to read a little bit about what it's
about. Go ahead.
Green Lantern, Hal Jordan has recruited Barry Allen for a dangerous mission that only the Flash can accomplish. Unfortunately, that mission is in hostile space, space station deep in the cosmos, which means leaving Kid Flash alone against Barry, Kid Flash alone defending his and Barry's loved ones from the deadly attack against the greatest enemy. So it looks like Kid Flash will be taking on Ebod Thawne. So that looked kind of cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
While Barry's away.
Yeah, no, I'm just happy to see that it isn't like so far all the stuff from DC hasn't just been like, you know, the first couple of issues are exciting and then everything falls off.
Right.
Everything's been maintaining a good, steady pace of quality. Which is and the thing too that I was worried about was that because it's double shipping that the artist change would be so drastic, because I found that to be a problem sometimes with DC Comics. But they do it in a way where you get story arcs from one artist and then they switch over to the other one to maintain that schedule. It's been good.
One more before we get to the section that I want to read everything on that you just mentioned. Super Sons. So I haven't read it yet. But I love the idea of this. I'm a big fan of Damon Wayne.
Yeah, me too.
And from what I've been hearing, again, listening to other podcasts and sort of reading online, this looks like the makings of a really classic pairing. So I don't know too much about it, to be honest, but I'm very interested in getting this trade when it comes out.
Yeah, no, the juxtaposition between these two characters is so great, especially, you know, being the sons of Batman and Superman and all of that kind of stuff. This Damian Wayne too in the Teen Titans series. I don't know if you heard how he formed the team, but he basically kidnapped them all and said, like, we got something to do. We're a team and you have no choice to leave. So he said at first I hated him, but the more and more I read about him, I just fell in love with this character.
I love awesome. Damon Wayne. Damon Wayne, and it's basically the juxtaposition between him and anybody he's with, because he's very confrontational and he does not like to lose. So anyway, I think it would be really cool. And then if you want to get into the Warner Brothers stuff,
You know, have you heard anything about the Hanna-Barbera DC stuff? The Flintstones, the Future Quest, the Scooby-Doo?
They all intrigue me. I kind of, again, want to trade weight a little bit on that. The Johnny Quest, Flintstones. I was looking at just the covers of them, and very interesting. So I want to trade weight on those as well, but I'm definitely interested in those because it sounds like it doesn't sound like a kid take on it.
It's not.
Yeah.
I mean, the Future Quest is like a huge team up of all of those
right.
those characters in one big event. And I think it's like a 12-issue series, and I think it might have finished. I read the first trade, and it was good, and I really was impressed with the Flintstones. I kept hearing people talk about how good the Flintstones ongoing is, and I'm thinking to myself, how could it not be, you know, just kind of silly Saturday morning cartoon type of thing? But it actually is a really good commentary using that setting to talk about current events and things that we deal with today in our world. So I'm wondering how the DC Looney Tunes, it kind of makes me more interested to see how well they pulled off the Hanna-Barbera, that this is actually going to turn out pretty good. So, and I don't know if they're one-shots or if they're going to be, well, they're just specials, they say.
Yeah, it doesn't really say, but I suspect they're one-shots. And like anything, if they sell, they'll make more, right? So
yeah, you're right.
So it's probably testing the waters. Is there a market for this? Then we'll make more. And but the thing is about these one-shots is, yeah, I will be inclined to maybe pick up a one-shot if it's a one-shot. I don't know if I'm going to read a whole series on this, but unless it really intrigues me. But I'm definitely very interested. I mean, the first one, Batman, Elmer Fudd, come on.
Look at Tom King and Lee Weeks. Like, I would read anything that they were on the
Oh, that's right, that Tom King's doing it, right?
Yeah, so Tom King, I'll buy it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and then Palmiotti, Jimmy Palmiotti, is doing the Jonah Hex Yosemite Sam.
So I'm a huge Jonah Hex fan as well. So I love Western comics, and not very popular, but there's something about that era, and it's all a lot of it's character driven, right? But Yosemite Sam and Jonah Hex, I think, would make for an interesting pair up. And the last run that I read on Jonah Hex was the Jimmy Palmiotti run. So I read about like a 6 or 7 trades. So I read the whole series. It was the New 52 run.
Was it good?
It was really good. And I'll be honest, where it fell is when they brought Jonah Hex into modern time. I did not like it at all. It really didn't stick. So there's maybe one trade out of the 6 or so from the New 52 run. And I'm trying to remember what it's actually called. It's not Jonah Hex. It's something Western or the other.
Not All-Star Western.
All-Star Western. Actually, that's what it is. Yes, All-Star Western. So it was All-Star Western, and I think one of the trades out of the 6 kind of brings him into the future or onto a modern time, and I wasn't that crazy about that. But everything leading up to that was great.
Who was the artist on that? Was it Palmiotti wrote it, but he didn't draw it, did he?
No, I think there was a few artists on that. I don't recall. Like, it wasn't Amanda Palmer or anything. I don't recall who it was offhand.
Okay. Martian Manhunter, Marvin the Martian. Like, why haven't we thought of this already?
Yes.
Right?
It's a match.
You've never seen what Marvin the Martian really looks like, have you? He's always in that outfit.
That's right.
So who's the real Martian here? What's the real form of the Martian between these two? That one intrigued me the most, just because it's like, yeah, they're both Warner Brother characters. Let's put them together, see what happens.
Maybe Martian Manhunter turns into Marvin.
True.
Lobo and Roadrunner. I'm a Lobo fan as well, so I think that'd be kind of interesting. I don't know where that matchup kind of makes sense, but who knows. And I don't think Roadrunner talks, does he? Or does he? Does she? I don't know.
Does it?
Does it talk? I don't know. So, who knows?
Do you think a Lobo movie would do well? Do you think people would be interested in that character?
It's a hard sell. I mean, if you're going to do it, and I think we both say the same thing about any of these, you have to go all out, right? You can't go half... with a Lobo movie.
Yeah.
It's got to be very violent. It's got to be just really bizarre. It's got to be very cosmic. He's got to go to all these planets that are, you know... he always goes to these dredgery planets. I think you have to do it that way. And you have to make him not your typical hero. He's got to be that anti-hero that's pretty much out for himself, so...
It's like a Wolverine Deadpool in space, basically.
Yeah. It would be a risky one, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy was risky. But it even more so because you're kind of dealing with that. They don't have the cute raccoon, right? This is kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy R-rated, right? So it would be interesting. I would go see it, but...
Yeah, probably. I think the comic book fans would go see it. But see, the difference, I think, with Marvel doing something like Guardians of the Galaxy, I think people at that point... They built up enough trust with the Marvel stamp of approval to be like, oh, I'll watch this if Marvel is behind it. But I don't know if DC has had that yet.
No. And even though I would love to see this because I love that character, not yet. I think they have to establish the DC universe. The Wonder Woman movie looks pretty good. I'm a little hesitant on the Justice League, but I think they're maybe in that... you know, adjusting period right now. So it might be a little better than the last couple. And then they got the Wonder Woman coming, which looks pretty good to me. But yeah,
I'm hopeful for the Wonder Woman. I'm really hopeful for the Wonder Woman.
They've got a few more. Okay, before they do a Lobo, they got to do a good Green Lantern. Right? They got to do a good Green Lantern before Lobo. And he has to be a part of the Justice League. And, you know, Martian Manhunter would also be a good one before they do a Lobo. And then you introduce Lobo into that world.
Yeah. Good call. Yeah. I don't think Martian Manhunter gets enough love.
No, he's a good character.
He's a great character. Yeah. Any trades or collections from DC that caught your attention?
Yeah, Justice League. Omnibus, Volume 1. Another Omnibus.
Yeah.
This is when I used to read the Justice League. And a lot of this series are talking heads. But there's so much banter. I've got a real soft spot for this. And this actually made me a huge fan of my favorite Green Lantern, Guy Gardner. Because he was just such a jerk, but he was so consistently a jerk that he would put a lot of these goody-goodies in their place, and he just didn't care. And I loved his portrayal in this series.
Yeah, it was a team that was kind of they editorial kind of put these characters together because I think Batman was the only A-list character who they said, okay, fine, you can use him for the Justice League, because everybody else was like, nope, you can't use Ark. Nope, we got something going on. Superman can't be in it. Wonder Woman can't be in it.
Yep.
So for them to make this work the way that they did, and it's very well respected and well, I haven't heard anybody who's read it that doesn't love
this
era of the Justice League. Now I have a question though.
Okay.
Because I haven't read this. I plan to read it, but when I look at this omnibus. And do you see how much it's collecting? It says 1 to 6, 7 to 25, 26 to 46, and then Justice League Europe, 1 to 21. That's a ton of comics for only it's 1,000 pages.
Yeah.
That's over 60 issues. Like, how short were these issues? Or is this like a misprint?
I think that's right. They were and they're talky. That's why it's going to take you a long time to get through that. One thing I liked about this series is that this was one of the few like team series where they really felt like a family. Right? It's bizarre and maybe it was when I read it but it was the most sort of it really felt like they're like maybe it's because of all the so much interaction as opposed to like these days you're getting the blockbuster, right? Back then it was all about the characters and their interaction with each other,
right?
So I kind of like that. Now, you know, again, I read them when they came out. This came out I think in like the 80s, so I'm a little hazy, and then of course maybe rose colored glasses, but I don't know. I am actually considering picking this up to reread it.
Yeah, I am too, because I've never read it. I have the first trade of like the first 7 issues, but I haven't found like a set that has been consistent where I'm like, I'm going to collect all of these hardcovers. To have it in one nice omnibus, and it looks like it collects a lot, but it doesn't make sense that there's only 1,000 pages for over 60 issues. I feel like maybe the Justice League Europe 1 to 21 or something, there's backups or something from there. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe there's a... I can't recall if that's the case, but...
Yeah. No, that looks exciting. Do you have any interest in the Harley Quinn by Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmiotti?
I've read a lot of it. I actually, it's not a deep comic.
But it's fun.
But it's a fun comic, and
yeah,
and I actually really enjoyed reading a lot. I read a lot of that run. I must have read maybe at least 15, 20 in. I would say, I could be wrong. It feels like that. I really dug. I liked that run a lot. I think they've captured not necessarily the Harley Quinn, but they've captured a Harley Quinn that I really took to. So I thought it was pretty good.
It doesn't collect very much in as opposed to the Justice League one, which is the same price. So if I'm gonna if I'm gonna splurge on something, it'll probably be the Justice League one.
Yeah.
The Batman Detective Comics on page 133, the Caped Crusader volume 1. That kind of looks like a
133. Good, I missed that one.
Good bang for your buck. It's everything that takes place immediately after year 1, all collected in a nice hardcover.
Yeah.
You get about 18 issues. The cover price is $50 US, but for what you're getting for it in hardcover format, it's a really good price in comparison to what the competition's putting out there. Like, I don't know, DC's got a good thing going with the cost of what their trades are and what they're putting in the issues or what they're putting in the books. It's good. And I like that they're doing this deluxe edition as well. If you look at the other page, the Justice League from Rebirth or the Flash, if you want to get into the Flash and read like a nice chunk of it, you can get the first 12 issues in a nice hardcover collection, which they never did before,
I got to say, I'm impressed with DC for doing that sort of stuff. I'm more of a Marvel guy, as you know, Eric, and I don't know if the listeners know, but I am a little bit more of a Marvel guy. I do have my favorite DC. I'm a comics person, not just, you know.
Yeah.
I never do the DC Marvel, you know.
No,
I don't believe in this.
No, you're missing out on thing. Stuff on both sides. Right. Why do that?
I'm a comics guy, so if it's good, I'll read it, right?
Yeah.
And I said lately I've been reading Valiant, so neither one of the two. So, I will say that what does impress me with DC is I think their collections are fairly solid.
Yeah, they are. They're doing a really good job, though. Are you reading any of the Nightwing reprints of the Chuck Dixon era of Nightwing? That's a really good deal for, you know, you're getting like 12 issues for each trade.
Mm.
Right? This one is volume 6, but you're getting $30 and you're getting, you know, 12 issues per trade in full color, nice pages.
That's actually really good, and I want to read. I've read some of that run, but I haven't read all of it, so.
Are you a Scott McDaniels fan? Some people really, really like him. I had a hard time getting into the Scott McDaniels art a little bit.
Which one was that? I'm trying to think of his. It's okay, if I recall. It's the same ones that I noticed. So which run was this?
He did a lot of the Nightwing work of that Chuck Dixon series. He did some... did a lot of Batman stuff, I think, during like the No Man's Land and
Cataclysm. Oh, okay, era. Yeah.
It's very
he's all right. Yeah,
cartoony, it's fun. It's a lot of fun,
but right.
Sometimes I find it a little bit hard to see where to follow my eyes. Yeah, yeah, that's the thing I had trouble.
I know what you mean. Yeah,
but no, it's these Nightwings and even the Robin just below it, the Chuck Dixon, Tom Grummett stuff. That's some good old fashioned '90s stuff. A lot of fun.
Cool.
Anything else
for me? I guess for me the pick was the Justice League for sure.
Yeah, I think that is the pick.
I have my first toy.
Okay.
And yeah. It's on page 149. The Batman animated Batcave with Batcomputer.
Oh, that was with Alfred.
With Alfred.
And that's awesome.
And the screen lights up. I know. I wish I could show everybody that's listening a picture, but it's very impressive. Look it up, and it's got the Alfred. It's got the whole Batcave with the chair set up at the Batcomputer, and I don't know. It looks pretty cool. I'd love to have something like this. I think it's $175 US, so it's not a cheap toy, but. It definitely
this is more of a display toy.
It's a display toy, and it looks like a centerpiece for sure. But
nobody plays around with Alfred.
I thought that was cool. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, as a kid, everybody gets their own. You get to be Alfred.
Yeah,
awesome. We love Alfred. I'd be Alfred today.
Alfred's the best. Yep. You know, either Batman is not interesting without Alfred. That I stand by that.
Yes. Yep.
All right. Do you want to move on to Image?
I got some IDW.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I completely skipped that. Go for it.
Okay. So page 168 for those that are following along. Clue number one.
Yes. Yes. So, I saw that. Good.
So I mean, I grew up playing the game. The movie was huge. And the interesting thing about the movie, who's ever seen the movie, who's actually grew up in that era, what they did is, the idea behind Clue is it's a murder mystery, and then at the end you find out who does the murder. What they did is, and I don't know if they've ever done that since that movie, is different movie theaters would show a different ending to that movie. Right? Really? Yeah. So actually when they brought it out, in order for you to actually see all the endings of the movie, and you don't know which one did, you'd actually have to see it multiple times to see the different endings of this movie. Now, obviously, if it came out on DVD, you have all the different endings of the movie. But what they're doing is something similar in the comic here, where different versions of the comic's going to come out with different endings to the story. So I thought it was kind of neat.
That's cool.
It's also a way to sell comics, but I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And a little bit of a throwback.
So three alternate endings to help you get a clue. Oh, that's cool.
Right? So I thought that was kind of neat.
I gotta say, IDW has quietly taken up all of these IPs, these properties that we grew up loving, like Ninja Turtles, yep. G.I. Joe, Transformers, now Clue, Back to the Future even, and they do a really good job at coming out with some good product for them.
They respect the IP. It's not just a cover and they know they're going to get some kid getting it. They respect it, and into the, you know, that Clue, you know, like, Clue is going to be a bit of a hard sell, but now, like, someone like me who kind of grew up and remember that they had the different things in the movie theaters and who grew up playing it, you know, I might be interested in picking one up just to see what it's like.
Yeah, no, it'll find its audience. Yeah. Definitely find its audience. And they're doing a good job, like, everything, a lot of these, you go through this book and you're like, man, I can't believe how much stuff they make of just about everything. And it's surprising how many good things there are, too. It's hard to have to say, okay, not this one.
Yeah.
That's the toughest part. But
I think that was the only one for IDW for me.
Okay. Yeah, I think a Clue caught my attention. I didn't put a sticky note on it. I'm not sure why, but yeah, that caught my attention as well. Do you like, I've never actually read Hellboy, but they're coming out with the artist edition for Mignola's Hellboy. Does that pique your interest at all?
Me, yes. I'm a Hellboy fan. So, yeah, for sure. And I've been actually, they have amazing trades that have come out for Hellboy. They had like leather-like covers, and they were, if I recall, they were very, very reasonable in price for all the issues that you're getting. But yeah, I'd be interested in, I've read a lot of it. I'd be interested in collecting it and maybe going through it again. But again, I got to watch all the omnibuses and collections and everything I'm getting. And I probably shouldn't be going back to stuff that I've already read. I should be stuff that I haven't read yet first, and then going back to some of the other stuff. Something like a Justice League International, I haven't read for years and years and years, so it would be almost fresh again. But I do recommend it. If people have not read Hellboy, I recommend it. It's a very cool, different kind of comic.
Cool. So nothing else for IDW for you?
Nope.
Okay. Anything from Image?
My next one is page 228, Paper Girls, number 15.
Yeah.
So you actually...
Are you current?
I'm not current, but I've read the first two trades.
Okay.
Which brings me up to around 10, I think. Was it 5 and or 6 and 6?
Yeah, issue 10, that's right.
So I read the first two, and I took to it right away. I actually bought the first one, read through it, and then I think the next day I ordered or went to go get the second one right away because I wanted to see what happened. A lot of nostalgia, love the characters, very strong characters, very strong female characters. but strong characters nonetheless. I dug it. And a very interesting story that does not handhold you, right? So
that's a great way to put it.
You kind of have to earn it. You have to get through it. You have to really ponder on what you're reading. And then, you know, as you kind of do that, and a little bit more is revealed, and then they'll throw you another curveball, and then
you think you figured it out, and then something else. And I think that's what's the genius about it, is that on second reads, it's something that I've read twice already, and I've liked it more the second time, as opposed to being like, oh, I already know this, I'm too familiar with it. I'm like, oh, that's that.
Right.
That's why that's important. Yeah, yep. No, it's good. You definitely feel like you've earned it.
And a part of that is you are getting the perspective of the main characters. So whereas in a lot of other comic books, you're kind of led into, as a reader, more information than the characters are. So you kind of know what's going on. You know what's going on in other conversations. The characters don't. This sort of gives you almost the perspective of those characters. So it is confusing, right? You only get the little bits of information as they interact with these different characters and things that are happening. So Paper Girls is definitely something I want to continue to read. And it's Brian K. Vaughan, and pretty much everything that Brian K. Vaughan does, I really like.
Yeah, this is probably the one book that I'm making sure I still get in single issue, and I'm double dipping in the trades as well.
Nice. And Cliff Chang, I like his art.
I do too.
On this, I like his art. A little mixed on some other stuff, but I think it works for this.
His Wonder Woman work was a lot of fun too.
Yes. Yeah. It was good too.
There's a new number one for Image on page 196. I don't know if you're interested in Howard Chaykin, Divided States of Hysteria. Does that pique your interest at all? It seems very.
I had a look at it, but 196 was it?
Yeah, seems very timely.
Oh yes, I think I know which one you're talking about. I remember the cover.
Yeah, an America sundered, an America enraged, an America terrified, shattered by greed and racism, violence and fear. I can't say that word.
And that Nihilism? And that cover. That is an eye-catching cover.
Really, it is, right? Like you can't.
It's essentially what appears to be a woman wearing a burqa, but the burqa is made out of the American flag.
Yeah,
right. Which sort of speaks volumes, right? So it's definitely looks like it's going to be politically charged.
Very much so.
So yeah, I mean, it does seem very interesting. It's one of those. It seems very interesting. It's one of those I'd like to hear a little bit more about it and potentially pick something like this up on a trade. But
I think the first issue I would pick up just to preview it, and it looks like something, I don't know, there's something about it that just seems very, it'll be one you remember.
Yeah.
Especially with a cover like that. Are you a fan of Rick Remender? I really like his stuff. I haven't read Tokyo Ghost, but they're coming out with a complete collection.
I nearly sticky that one too. I don't know too much about it, but I keep hearing good things about that.
Yeah, for those who are wondering what Tokyo Ghost is, it's a story taking place in a dystopian future where everybody's addicted to technology, which isn't very far off from our world. So it says getting a virtual buzz is the only thing left to live for, and gangsters run it all. And who do these gangsters turn to when they need to neither rule enforced? Constables Led Dent and Debbie Decay are about to be given a job that will force them out of the familiar squalor of LA and into the last techless country on earth, the Garden Nation of Tokyo. I don't know.
It's interesting.
Yeah, Rick Remender, he's one of those guys where
it sounds like a TV show.
It does.
Yeah,
and he writes these things where the characters have like these one-liners that stick with me, and I kind of live with them for a while. I don't know if it's from him going to therapy or something like that, but it's just all of this stuff that I don't quickly forget. I really like Rick Remender stuff. Anything else from Image?
I got something on page 232. Renato Jones, season 2. Okay.
Kari Andrews.
And the reason is Kari Andrews. I haven't read season one. It's one that I definitely want to catch up on. I am a Kari Andrews fan. His run on Iron Fist was one of my favorites. And I love that he is the writer and
artist.
I think there's, you know, he's got a very interesting art style, and it works. You know, he obviously has a full vision of his comics, and it's kind of interesting to have the writer and artist be the same person. If you look at some of his covers, though, they're very different than the art that he puts in his sequential. His covers are a lot more the painted, very hyper-realistic covers, whereas this one has a very, I don't know how to describe the style, but there's a lot of motion going on. It's a little bit more of a very stylistic over your typical, realistic type version of these characters. But I'm very interested in this. I liked what he did with Iron Fist, so just based on that alone, I got to meet Kari, who is an awesome guy. I got to meet him at
super nice
Toronto
guy.
Fan Expo. And it's really nice when you meet, you know, someone whose work you appreciate, and they're actually even nicer than you can imagine. So,
absolutely. So he's one of those guys for sure.
I want to potentially pick this up, and I want to support stuff that he's doing, and this actually looks very interesting too.
His speaking of his covers, his Iron Fist covers are what made me buy that book, because I wouldn't have otherwise bought it. But man, were they something to behold. I couldn't pick a favorite. Like, if I had to get him to sign one or buy a print of one of those covers, like, all of them were spectacular. I didn't finish it. I think I read up to issue 7. Would you recommend that 12 issue trade?
I've read it, and I'm going to pick up the trade so I can reread it. It's great.
How does it measure up to the Fraction Brubaker stuff?
Oof.
Don't worry, he's not listening.
Yeah, you never know, maybe he will. Okay, so I really liked his characterization. I liked the story that he did. The Fraction Brubaker stuff, though, when they went to the tournament, and those are really some pretty great stories.
It's hard to compare.
Orson Randall, I mean, those are really some of my favorite stories. So let's just say it's different. It's a great take on it, and I do recommend it.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's not fair to put Fraction and Brubaker on the writing together against a guy who's drawing and writing it.
And we're really kind of comparing 12 issues only, right? So
that's true.
There was a lot longer run. I have something else on page, I don't know what your next one is, but page 242, Wayward, number 21. Okay. So this is Jim Zub, another great guy that I've met at Comic-Con.
Another local.
She's artist and writer. This one, I've read the first deluxe edition, so it's, I think, around the first 12 issues. Absolutely loved it. It's a bit of a fish-out-of-water story. Little bit of spoilers. Basically, it's about a Japanese girl, grew up in I guess America, ends up for some reason having to come to Japan and live there. So she's just sort of, again, she feels like a fish out of water. She's ostracized for being an outsider. She has to try to, and she's young, right? So she's trying to make friends in school, and people don't like her right away, and those sort of things. And then to make it even worse, she gets involved with this entire supernatural group of people. So if anybody's sort of a fan of, like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer or something, like, you know, along those lines, it's very interesting. And what also makes it interesting is the setting of Japan. There's a lot of really cool set pieces. I was talking to Jim about this. He said the artist was in Japan, took a lot of pictures. A lot of the backgrounds are actually places in Japan, right? So And a lot of the mythology is from Japan. At the end of the, at least at the end of the deluxe editions, it goes through what some of these mythology pieces are. And I think it's really cool. The art's really neat. It's a cool story. I'll definitely be picking up the next trade for this.
Awesome. Well, yeah, Jim Zub is a nice guy.
Yep.
I bought his Skull Kickers from him 1 year at the Fan Expo.
Yeah, I like that series too.
I've got nothing else from Image myself, so if you've got more, you keep going.
My next one is Aftershock.
Aftershock, all right. Aftershock. Go for it.
Okay, so Aftershock, I think it's an up-and-coming company that seems to have really just taken off. I seem to see this everywhere. I don't know. one of the ones that I'm very interested in and I haven't actually read any of these yet. There's actually two. One is Animosity.
Excellent.
So this is something I actually want to pick up. I actually looked on Amazon the other day and I didn't see it there, but I'm going to try to pick up the trade for that. A good friend of the show, of the Fastball Special, Mike Ruth, has been doing some of the covers for Animosity, some stellar covers, really.
That's what made me buy the trade, because of Mike Ruth's stuff. I think comic books is the one thing where you can say you judge a book by its cover, and because of his stuff, I actually gave the book a shot, and it was great.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. That's good to know. Yeah.
So I can lend it to you if you like.
Okay.
Ahead of time, because I do recommend it. You'll probably end up buying it, because it is a really interesting concept.
So I think it's essentially a concept of, if I get this right, animals becoming, not sentient, but they become more intelligent and they sort of rebel against humanity. That's the gist of it.
The way they put it in the book is that they've woken up, the animals. Right. Like, I don't know if sentient is the right word, but they realize now what has, like, they've been domesticated or they've been treated like animals, wild animals, but now they've become alert. And imagine what happens if, you know, a pride of lions all realize or become as smart as we are. Who's going to win that battle?
Exactly.
Yeah, so, no, it is a really cool concept. And the relationship between the little girl and her bloodhound dog is really, really cool.
Oh, is that right?
All the animals have become awakened, as it were. He's continually protecting her. He still realizes that that's his person. The loyalty is there.
Oh, okay. So he's rebelling against the norm.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's that one guy from Planet of the Apes that like the humans. Cornelius or something. okay, so that's cool. Yeah, I definitely want to read that. The other one that's kind of interesting is Pestilence. Again, Mike Ruth is doing a cover. He let me know. So hoping I'm not getting in trouble for doing this, but I haven't been able to. He hasn't been able to show it yet, but I understand he's doing one. But aside from that, I think that seems interesting. It's another zombie show or a zombie comic, but the takes that this Aftershock company has been doing, I think it'll be pretty interesting. So I think it's like a some sort of plague that's hitting Europe. So
okay.
Anyway,
do you think the zombie craze is getting played out, or do you think that's there's always going to be a market for that?
So to me, as long as the zombie, story is not about the zombies, then it doesn't necessarily have to be played out. A lot of the shows that I've seen or movies that I've seen, it's really not about the zombies. It's about the humans that in a lot of cases are a lot worse than the zombies. So there's a lot of stories that can be told where the zombie is just a part or the catalyst that start things off. But I think there's a lot of places they could still go.
Got it. The one thing from Aftershock that actually did catch my attention, other than the animosity, was Captain Kidd, Volume 1, from Mark Waid and Tom Pyre. Just a big Mark Waid fan. I'm pretty much willing to read anything that he puts his name to.
Right.
And it just looks like some good old-fashioned superhero fun. $14.99, 120 pages of a trade. Mark Waid, I'm in. I'll give it a shot. It
seems like an interesting company that's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shall we move on to Marvel?
I got something. Well, I got a few more.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. No. Boom Studios. So I'll be very quick. Bill and Ted Save the Universe, number one. Just a fan of the movie. So,
have you read any of the other stuff?
I haven't, but I kind of want to, just because I like the characters and I think it would be kind of neat. I think they have a story to tell. So,
Especially with the time travel aspect, right? You can keep telling different stories with these guys.
Yeah, exactly.
You add the humor in the right way. It's great. Do you have any interest in the WWE comic book?
I mean, they're practically superhero characters, right? So
right?
They can do it. It depends on how they do it. Like, are they going to take them out of the ring? Like I am kind of interested to see what they'll do with them. But are they going to do, like, where, you know, this is just sort of their day job, but then they go and, whatever, fight crime or whatever outside? I'm not sure how they would take it.
I think it's just basically telling stories within the business or within, like, what's happening in the ring.
Really?
I don't know.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so the Volume 1 is coming out, and it's solicited here for, let me see the date. August 2017. And I don't know. I mean, does it have anything to do with what's actually happening in the WWE now? Like, you have to know that, or is it a story all on its own? And it's got a good writer, Dennis Topless. He's doing, if I'm not mistaken, Spider-Woman for Marvel. And I really like the stuff he's been doing on Spider-Woman. So I'd give it a shot, but I mean, you're a wrestling fan as well. I don't keep up with it anymore, but with this, something like this,
interesting. But I think these are more of the classic guys, right?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I need to hear a few more reviews before I jump on that. But
you're right.
It should be interesting. I'm a wrestling fan, so it could be cool.
It's on page 302. You see the Jake the Snake variant cover?
Oh, that might get me alone.
There you go. Jake the Snake.
Yes. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. All right. Fair enough.
There you go.
Maybe. I got another one from Dynamite. Sword Quest number one. This is based on an Atari game. And why it's kind of interesting, and I kind of wish I had taken a few more notes for this, but why it's kind of interesting is from what I recall, there was
this... What is it on? Sorry.
This is 328.
328. Okay.
Yeah, so, and there's actually a great George Perez cover that he does for this. It was an Atari game, a very simple game, and if you've ever played, you know, if you try to go back now and try to play games like this, they are super, super hard. They're unforgiving. They don't have save points and things like that. Sword Quest was one of those games that absolutely made no sense. there was no, like, there's no guide for this game. You have to go out and there's different worlds, I think, that you have to find the sword. And there was this competition, I believe, at the time, where if you were able to complete the game and prove you did and find the sword, that you would get $50,000, right? So this was a big, like, marketing tool that they used back then. And it looks like what they're doing is, again, some of these guys, they get these IPs, they know what to do with them. So in this case, it sounds like there was someone who, back in the day, tried to get the sword, but they discontinued the game. So they're actually making the comic about how, you know, what that sword quest is like today, right? So it seems kind of interesting. And again, I'm a video game guy, and so I think it's pretty neat.
And you want that George Perez cover.
And I want that George Perez. And I want the blank cover. Get someone to put some art on that.
Who would you get to do a sword quest? I think Mike Ruth
could
do
it. Yeah, that's an easy one. okay, so then I go to Valiant. So
So basically everything in the Valiant section.
Pretty much. I think I literally sticky noted everything in the Valiant section.
This Secret Weapons definitely looks interesting with Livewire.
Yes.
Gonna check that out.
Yeah, so Valiant Prestige format. limited series. I'm not quite sure what they mean by that. Have they done this before? Prestige format.
I don't know. I jumped onto Valiant getting all of their trades, their collected stuff. So I'm just starting to get the EXO monthly now, the new relaunched Matt Kit one. So this will probably be my next one where I'm getting something off of the shelves from them. But
yeah, I mean, I've been trying to resist, but it's been hard to try to resist the individual versions. Issues, but yeah, it's such a great company.
And Livewire hasn't had anything on her own, right? It's always been within the team or on Harbinger,
right?
So now she's getting a little bit of shine for herself. Yeah, it sounds good, and the premise too of her finding these they're psyots, right? With very strange powers. Psyots are basically mutants. For those who are listening to us go on about Valiant. They're the Valiant version of equivalent of mutants, if you will.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm in.
any cover that catches your attention more than the others?
Let me just go back here. Oh man, actually, you know what, that red cover is kind of stunning.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, I like that one too.
Yeah, so I think there's there's another four pre-order edition bundle. There's going to be a lot of covers.
Yeah.
I think the next one was EXO, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Now, will you get this trade, the three-issue trade that they're releasing for this?
I actually bought... So I'm a little bit of a comic store's worst nightmare. I'll buy the first issue and then I'll drop off and read the trade. But I actually really liked the EXO Man of War first issue. It reminded me of the old gunslinger that's, you know, put up his guns and he wants to retire, and then all of a sudden something pulls him back in, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't want anything more to do with the war. And he has to come back in, and they kicked it off in a great way.
Yeah.
Matt Kint, is it Kint or?
I think it's Kint.
Kint.
I think it's Kint. Yeah.
Kint. So Matt Kint is involved with this, and again, the covers are stunning. You know, I'm looking at this Bob Layton one right here.
Yeah.
It looks great. Layton, who's I think one of the original creators of EXO, he's also well known for his Iron Man stuff. I'm in again. So,
are you going to pre-order the issues 4 to 9 of the next arc, the pre-order edition bundle?
I'm not sure.
Why not? Right?
It definitely would be worth it. So,
yeah, no, it is.
Yeah, I was going through the section and I'm like, there's nothing that I wouldn't be interested in here. So,
Rapture
looks amazing.
Matt Kint again. I mean,
yeah.
There hasn't been anything that he's done thus far from Valiant that I've not liked. That says a lot, because we've both read quite a bit of their line. And I mean, I haven't read everything, but everything I've read has been stellar.
And this features the Shadow Man and Ninjak, right?
That's
this
right.
This looks great. Both really very cool, very different characters, and it'd be interesting to see what they come up with.
And you would think that, just on first glance, like all of these Valiant characters are derivatives of, or a ripoff, quote unquote, of something from Marvel or DC, but they're not. Nope. Whatever you think it might be a ripoff of, don't just erase that from your mind and give these characters a shot, and you're going to be pleasantly surprised. Yeah, even the Rye, I think it's the Ray for Roberts, the Rye, the history of the Valiant Universe. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is an ongoing or if it's a one shot itself, but that looks, I finished reading this trade yesterday. It was really, really good.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And the art, Clayton Crane did that?
Clayton Crane. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Well, this so stuff well is stunning. The story. Taking place in the 40th century, like the art matches that so well.
Yeah, his stuff I love, and another great guy. I met him as well. Very nice, very nice. More of a soft spoken guy, but definitely he's very friendly and and just an amazing artist.
Yeah.
Then we have Britannia. So I literally just got the first trade delivered to me today. So I don't know too much about it, but...
I think it's up your alley for what you've told me that you like. I think you'll like it. It's not my taste, but I hear those who have read it have said nothing but really, really good things about it.
Excellent.
It's like a murder mystery in ancient Rome, but it has a lot of like supernatural stuff involved with it as well. Monsters, all that kind of jazz.
So. Great. Then we have... Let's see. What is this? X-Men Man of War Volume 1. So it's a trade paperback. And then we have Divinity 3 trade paperback. So I read Divinity 1. I love Divinity 1. I think it's a great origin story. I'm a sucker for origin stories if they're done well.
Yeah, it was very good.
And it was a great payoff. Like, it really built interest in that character. And it was a fantastic payoff. So I'm very interested in reading. I haven't read number 2. This is the trade for number 3. So I want to read number 2.
I think
number
this 3. Trade is all of the... I don't think it's the main story. I think it's all of the extra things going on within the universe that tie into it. So these are all the tie-in issues. That's the word I was looking for. So Commander Bloodshot number 1. Divinity, Eric, the Son of the Revolution, number 1. So to go along with that story, this is like this supplementary material, but most likely still very good. But yeah, I'm with you. I haven't read Divinity 2 or 3, but definitely it's on my shopping cart at Amazon.
Right. For how long?
Yeah, that's the question.
All right. That's all I have from that preview before we get to Marvel.
Okay,
so I'm ready. You want to jump right into Marvel?
Go for it.
So let's hit into Marvel. So I jumped a few here. There seems to be a Secret Empire crossover that's going on right now. Again, as I mentioned before, they always make me a little worry. I feel that they try to pigeonhole a lot of the ongoing regular comics, and they're trying to get an overarching story. Which, if you're only maybe following one or two, it's not great, because then you have this other one that you're not following, right? And it doesn't make sense in a lot of times. But, you know, again, I haven't read this, so and I haven't read a lot of more recent comics, so who knows? Maybe it's going to be a great story. It looks like it has to do with Hydra, because I'm seeing a lot of Hydra symbols. The first one I did look at, though, was Amazing Spider-Man number 29, Dan Slott. And what first attracted me to this one is the cover by Alex Ross, which looks pretty great. And it's Otto Octavius is back as the Superior Octopus. So right away, it does...
And Stuart Immonen on the art.
And yes, and Stuart Immonen, yeah. So this looks very interesting.
Yeah, the Alex Ross covers have been so good for this series. Have you read any of the ongoing Spider-Man from Dan Slott currently?
I have not, no.
Okay. It's definitely a different era for Spider-Man, where he's actually wealthy instead of always having a hard time making ends meet. So it's a cool change of pace to see Peter Parker not know what to do with money or how to handle it well. But the stakes are very high in these stories, which is fun, and he goes more global. He's not just in Manhattan or New York. He's traveling the world, which is kind of fun. Right. I just recently finished The Clone Conspiracy.
Okay.
I liked it, but I found that the pace of the publishing with the like you said, these event things with the tie-ins and what you have to buy in order to keep up with what's going on.
Right.
I think it really damages, for me, what I'm willing to read from Marvel, because they just finished the Civil War.
Right. Civil War 2, 3?
Civil War 2. As soon as that's finished, they go into the Secret Empire. And the thing that I didn't like about Civil War is like what you said. I'm reading, for instance, you know, Spider-Woman, and all of a sudden, or Miss Marvel, and the next trades all have to do with what's happening in Civil War. And it just kind of, not that they were bad, but it just throws you off from what you're looking for of that character. And I feel like it's happening again with this Captain America event.
Right.
Granted, I think it's a cool concept. I don't know if you heard anything about Nick Spencer, what he was doing with Captain America.
A little bit, yeah.
Where he made him an agent of Hydra, right. And everyone, yep. Who, you know, the internet broke.
You
and
can't,
everyone
yeah, you can't not hear that, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's a cool idea, but I think it's coming to its full vision with this miniseries. But look at all of the titles it affects and all the things you have to buy. I don't know.
Mm. Yep. I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
I used to have to collect everything that's in that. But, you know, this is when, you know, when I first started collecting, these things weren't as frequent as they are now. It seems like I'm actually, the next pick that I have starts off another event in the Marvel Universe.
Which one's that?
So this is the Edge of Venomverse, number
Edge
one.
Of Venomverse, right.
So this does kind of interest me, because again, it's somewhat of an origin story, so just read a little bit of what the verbiage here. So the series that sets up the epic Venom event of two... Our 2017 starts here. Each issue introduces another Venomized character that will feed into the Venomverse. In this issue, the young mutant clone, designated X-23, right, collides with the cryogenic tube containing a strange alien symbiote. So it's basically Venom X-23. Again, I'm a big Wolverine fan. I'm a big fan of that entire universe. So this does kind of intrigue me a little bit. I'm looking at the art. The art actually looks very good. The covers look very good. But again, I'm not probably interested in the entire Venomverse. I'll probably only pick and choose some of the characters that they decide to bring in as origins for this Venomverse event.
So is it tying in a bunch of other stuff, or is it just a miniseries, a 1-5, in regards to Venom and that little universe? Because if it's just a 1-5 thing, that's not so bad.
No, then I'd be definitely interested. But it does say Epic Venom Event, so I'm not too sure. Maybe it is 1-5. If that's the case, then yeah, I'm all for it.
Yeah, because this, the Secret Empire, it's... A callback to what happened with Captain America during the, I think it was the Engelhart run back in the 70s. But it's just every title crosses over into it. So it's more like, let me find something that's not crossing into that to continue reading. And
he might be reading the Venomverse.
Yeah, that's it. The Venomverse.
Or the next one that I picked.
Yeah.
sorry if you have something before that.
No, I might have. Oh. I'm seeing you on the screen. I see we got different stuff. I'm going for Peter Parker, Spectacular Spider-Man from Chip Zdarsky and the other Kubert brother, Adam Kubert.
Okay.
And it's just more of a simplifying of Spider-Man, since Dan Slott has made him go worldwide, and more, you know, like a James Bond character going around the world, kind of like a mix of Spider-Man and Tony Stark. This is him going back to New York and kind of a back to basic Spider-Man, and I love the hip hop variant.
That's kind of the one. What page is that?
That is on page 19.
Okay, so just before
I'll be getting, hopefully.
Yeah, actually, that's a great cover. That is a great cover.
So, have you collected the hip hop variant covers at all?
Some of them here and there.
I'm a big fan of the Spider-Man ones. They're all albums that I grew up listening to, so. I'm going to have to try to get my hands on this one. Hopefully my store qualifies for it. If not, I'm going to have to maybe go to your shop.
Put dibs.
Yeah.
Okay, so Defenders number one. Interested in this. Following the... it's clearly a tie-in with the Netflix show, right? So it's got your Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, your Daredevil, and your Iron Fist. So regardless if it was a tie into the Netflix or not, I think that's a really cool team up idea.
Yep.
Again, more of a grounded show. I'm a big fan of all these characters. I think they would really work together. I'm kind of in. And there's 50 different variant covers. There's a Neil Adams one, a whole bunch of different variant, and it's Brian Michael Bendis. So it seems pretty
cool.
And
I think he's got a good handle on these type of characters too. I think this is his strong point.
Yeah.
any speculation on what you think the hip hop variant cover will be for the Defenders?
I couldn't tell you. I think you do.
I don't actually, because they usually show what it's going to be, but in this case, it just says to be announced. So I'm trying to think. Of a four group hip hop group that would fit this. I was thinking maybe Fugees, but there's only three in the Fugees, and they've done that one already. So I don't know. I'm excited. Yeah, I bet this one's going to be a good one. This one will be a good one. But yeah, Defenders, Brian Michael Bendis, good choice.
I think it's, yeah, I'm in. And it doesn't cross over with the other big crossover event.
Thankfully.
So.
Yeah, thankfully it is just its own thing.
A standalone, and it's probably going to tie in. They're expecting it to tie in with the Netflix show.
Yeah. Any interest in Iceman, number one?
Kind of. I almost put a sticky on it because I do like that character. I don't know if it would be one I'd go out of my way to buy, but
yeah, I'd probably wait to hear the word on it.
Yeah, but I think it's got a lot of places to go. One of my favorite Iceman moments, and I can't remember what it was from, but did you ever read the one where Emma Frost took over Iceman?
Oh, I feel like it rings a bell, but I don't remember.
So Emma Frost basically takes over Iceman and basically shows up Iceman how to use his powers a million times better than Iceman has ever used them.
Was that wasn't in the Joss Whedon run, was it?
Oh, it might have been.
Because that sounds familiar.
Because I read the Joss Whedon run, so it could be that. And it was just, Iceman was just devastated because he's lived with these powers his whole life.
Yeah.
And he couldn't use them as well as Emma Frost used them instantly as she sort of took him over. And it was very cool. She was just like, you have no idea what potential you have. And just showed him up. But, it's cool. It's a cool character. It could be one of those underdog ones.
Brian Michael Bendis set in place with the original X-Men coming into the current timeline. So a young Iceman is also living concurrently with the seasoned veteran Iceman. So I think that adds a little bit of interest there. Well, I'll see what pans out from this series. I'm not 100% sold on it. There's so much other stuff I could read.
The one I have next is on page 28. Mighty Thor.
Looking at it.
Number 20.
Cover.
Saga of the New... Yeah, that cover looks familiar. Right? a beta Ray Bill. But it's the Saga of the New Ultimate Thor starts here. So it looks like they're bringing in the Ultimate Thor. Because it looks like they have the Ultimate Thor hammer here. Piqued my interest.
How would you explain the Ultimate Thor to people who are like, what's the difference between Thor and Ultimate Thor?
So Ultimate Thor came from the Ultimate line of comics. It was sort of a relaunch of Marvel before relaunches was a thing, I would say. It was one of the first relaunches. And it was kind of its own separate line. It was its own separate line. Very familiar characters, but slightly different. And it was a separate world than the rest of Marvel. Right. So it was an interesting experiment. It did actually warrant some pretty, like the Spider-Man. I actually read the Ultimate Spider-Man. It was very good. The Ultimates, which was the Avengers version, was pretty neat, which included the Ultimate Thor. And the Ultimate Thor, at least in some of the early ones, they really didn't know if he was really a god or if he just thought he was a god, but he was basically a big surfer.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah,
right? He was kind of a big surfer dude, and so we didn't know if this was just an insane person with powers, or if he thought he was definitely a god, but as a reader, you weren't too sure.
But, yeah, you almost felt like he had some sort of a schizophrenia, possibly, or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's coming into the current Marvel world. So now we'll have, what, three potential Thors?
Yeah.
Right? With the lady. I don't like calling her Lady Thor, but it's the only way to distinguish.
Oh.
got Odin's son, Lady Thor, and now Ultimate Thor.
I don't think it's a spoiler at this point. I guess they could call her Janeway Thor. No, spoiler.
Have you read any of that stuff yet?
I basically read when that all occurred, when it came over, and when the big reveal happened, and I actually thought it was very well done. Because you always talk about, at least with Mjolnir, how you have to be worthy of Mjolnir, right? Mm-hmm. Now, with Janeway, why she was kind of worthy is that she was a doctor. She had cancer, or critical cancer, and with her case, Thor offered to bring her to, to Asgard to cure her, and she said, no, I'm a doctor, it would go against everything that I believe in, that I would get this sort of special treatment. And what we also find is that as she dons the power of Thor, it actually progresses the cancer with her. So she's actually, I thought it was a very interesting take. So in other words, her sacrifice made her worthy to become the Thor. So
You see, I've been waiting for a nice collected edition of that, yep. But I feel for what they're offering within the hardcover, the first, unless it's the ultimate, not the ultimate, sorry, the deluxe, you get all 8 of those issues, but it's $40 for 8 issues. So I've been trying to find it for a little bit more of a, I mean, I've done worse before, but
yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like some of these Marvel collections, it's just give me a little bit more for my dollar here. So I really want to read it. I'm just trying to find the best package to read it in. And I know they're going to come out with something soon, but.
No, I mean, people, when that first happened, there was a big uprising. A lot of people said that it's pandering, right? It's trying to, you know, force that diversity, force the female characters on and things like that. I've found that actually, at least if they're building a very good structured story around it, I'm all for it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I thought it was actually well done, because I know a lot of people, without even reading or finding out who Thor was at the time, just absolutely panned it. Because they wanted their Thor back, and I just said, you know, give it some time. Let it, you know, let's find out what they bring. After they bring the story, then make the judgment. But I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think you're right. It was the same thing with the Superior Spider-Man, and I'm guilty of it. I didn't really want to read it at first because it's not my right. Spider-Man, and yep. Why would I want to read Dr. Octopus?
And how great was that series?
Right. And it was phenomenal, to the point yeah. where you were upset when it ended, because you know what? The story was really strong, and I've heard nothing but good things about this version of Thor. I really want to read it. What I've read of the character in some of the Avengers books, I've liked it. I'm just waiting to get it in a nice
right.
I want to read a good chunk of it. I don't want to spend $30 for 4 issues from a trade.
So, you know, so I might have spoiled that for you then.
No, I have the issue where it's revealed. I bought those, but I just wanted to read it as one whole story. I know what happened. I mean, at this point, it's long past due, but...
Right. What's your next one?
Let me see. Well, as far as weeklies go or monthlies go, there's nothing else that I'm really going to be picking up as it comes out, except for maybe some of the trades.
Right.
Well, when we get... I mean, I'm a big Spider-Man fan, so, you know, the Ben Reilly Scarlet Spider kind of interests me. I don't know. I think that's just about to start. So this is the issue 3 and 4 coming out that month. Amazing Spider-Man 28, another Alex Ross cover.
Right. So I have a few. And to be, like, again, I picked a lot of these because they tweak my interest. Doesn't mean I'm necessarily going to buy those individual issues. But some of them, again, pique my interest because of the story, because of the characters, stuff I've already read, covers, whatever. One of the ones that I'm looking at here is Ms. Marvel number 19. I've read the first few issues of this, the first trade of this. I think Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan, is an amazing character.
Love Kamala Khan.
So I think, and not just in terms of the super way, but I think you put it best when you're saying the quiet moments, right? Where you know, she's at that family table, she's trying to come to terms with her heritage, and you know, fitting in as well as a young girl. I think it's phenomenal, a phenomenal series. So I'd like to continue reading that.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely going to get around to reading this. I love one of my favorite characters right now in comics, period. If anybody wants to read, again, getting back to what you were saying about the diversity, this is one of those things where it's just so natural.
Yes.
And the story is so strong and the supporting cast is so strong that if this was a television show, it could possibly be my favorite television show.
Yeah, if done right. If we see the comic come to life, mm-hmm. it could be amazing.
Yeah, and it would really, I think, what I like about it is that it's not something catered to just a specific demographic. It doesn't matter what walk of life you are, you can relate to it because you're represented in it in some way.
Right.
And G. Willow Wilson, she's been the writer from beginning to end, and it's been really strong.
Really strong, yep. Another one, sorry, another one that I picked was Iron Fist number 4, because Iron Fist.
That's your boy.
Iron Fist, and there's also this, every now and then Marvel will take some sort of cover theme, and this theme is Mary Jane, I guess, so they're Mary Jane everybody. although I gotta say, this Mary Jane Iron Fist actually looks pretty cool.
Yeah, this is the one variant cover. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool.
That is kind of neat. So
that one I'll go for.
That interests me. Same with the Punisher one. So there's a Punisher 13. Becky Cloonan, I think, is a really great artist. I think she's actually writing this, but she's a great artist as well. She's done a lot of great Punisher art. And I think, this seems very interesting. I'm very interested in this. I might get this trade because these two seems really cool, and that cover looks pretty great as well. So it's a homage to Amazing Spider-Man 129.
Yeah.
So, but very different. Very cool.
How about on page 58? I think it is. Any interest in getting the director's cuts of The Vision from Tom King
and Gabriel Hernandez Balta? I still haven't read them. Okay. I am absolutely going to get the trade. I'm actually hoping they're going to come up with a hardcover.
Yeah,
because that's too. What I want to get. From what I hear, it's worthy of getting the hardcover. So I definitely, although I'm desperately want to read it, I think I want to hold off. And I suspect we will see a hardcover from this. So
yeah, especially, I mean, this they're doing two issues for each director's cut. So you know they're. With something that's as heralded as this series has become, you know that they're going to be coming out with a really nice hardcover, hopefully soon. It deserves it.
Yep. So maybe you'll lend me that one to read. Weapon X. So two on this page that are kind of interesting. The Weapon X program, I mean, it's, again, I'm a big Wolverine fan. You know, the Barry Windsor Smith run of Weapon X is one of my favorite runs ever. And great origin story, again. And, you know, anything to do with the Weapon X program does tweak my interest, so this one looks good. It's also got Old Man Logan in it, and a lot of the other, you know, Warpath, Sabretooth, Domino, Lady Deathstrike. It does tweak my interest, so I'd be interested in reading that. And then there's this other one, Weapons of Mutant Destruction. Kind of a ridiculous name, but they show a picture of a Hulk-like character with adamantium claws. So it looks
that's frightening.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, that kind of raises an eyebrow. Of the potential of that. So it looks like
could anything stop the Hulk with adamantium claws? Like, what's the point?
Yeah, I mean, he's already got the healing factor, and who knows, right? We don't know if that's the case, but it looks like, I mean, that's what it looks like. It's a little bit cloudy. He's in at some sort of test tube thing, but it does look like the outline of a Hulk with Wolverine claws.
And it says Batch H.
Batch H, right, Hulk.
Right?
Right. So it's piqued my interest, right? You know, they got to try new things. They're experimenting, like Weapon X. X-Men Blue.
Five. Who do you think that might be?
Yeah. So guess why I wanted to. I was interested in this one. So it looks like, surprise, surprise, Wolverine is back. But we'll see. Maybe it's a tease.
Are you surprised with the timing of it?
It has been a bit longer than I thought it would be, to be honest. These things don't last very long. We know that most people that die in comics come back. But I guess for me, again, there's conspiracy theories, but keep in mind, Fox has the rights to X-Men and Wolverine, etc., whereas Marvel Comics did not have the rights to those movies. All of a sudden, Fox is doing all these movies, they kill off Wolverine. Fox has now sort of completed that overarching Wolverine story. Look, Wolverine's back. So, I don't know if that has anything to do with that.
When you say that, I thought maybe Marvel would have tried to time this so that when people leave the theater after having watched Old Man Logan, they were like, look, he's back to life in our comics.
Right.
So
I think all this conspiracy piece there, I think what people have to understand, there is really not that much of a direct correlation between movies and TV shows and people that buy comics. People that are going to buy these comics are going to buy them regardless, or not buy them regardless.
Yeah, they've always done that, whether they were represented on TV or not, right?
Right. So it's not. I think the comic industry has it wrong to an extent. Now, when something is introduced like a Guardians of the Galaxy, people don't know about this group, that might tweak their interest in maybe picking up a Guardians of the Galaxy comic, right? But these other characters have been around forever. I don't see how that all of a sudden piques interest. I mean, talking to Carlos about this, it doesn't really seem to be boosting those sales particularly. I don't know if you talk to any of you guys, comic store, but I never hear that all of a sudden, a Spider-Man movie comes out, Spider-Man issues are flying off the shelf all of a sudden.
You know who does go to the store and buy those books when the movies come out? Me. It's us, right? I go to the movies and I see, whatever has been released, and I may not know much about that character. I'm the guy who goes to the comic book shop and says, okay, what can you give me? But you're right. It's not the, people who just walk in. They figure, oh, why would I read when I could just watch it on television?
Right, right. Not necessarily the same audience.
No.
Old Man Logan number 25. There's a trend here, but have you seen the artwork, the interior artwork that they're showing on the page? It's on page 78.
Mike Diodato Jr.
Ooh. Yeah, it looks pretty phenomenal. If you know about the original Old Man Logan series, you could see that it looks like a family of Hulks getting ready to do some bad business. So it looks very cool. And then we have Maestro Hulk versus Old Man Logan. I mean, I'm in. So,
I think the first little bit, because this is Ed Brisson now writing up at issue 25. But right. What's been come out so far in the trades, I think, has been Jeff Lemire.
Yes, right? I think Jeff Lemire is in it. And I've heard
really good things about it.
Yep, it's a trade.
That's another
It's a trade I definitely want to pick up. Yeah.
But the thing that's driving me crazy is that they're only doing 4 issues at a time, and they're charging $20 for these trades. It's just so overpriced of what you're getting for it. I just want them to come out with a nice, big deluxe edition of it, because I'm in 100% for this, especially when it's the writing team that it is.
And I think, again, this would be one, again, I don't know, obviously everything doesn't warrant a hardcover, but I'd love to get a hardcover of this and just read through 12 issues at the same time, 14 issues.
Exactly.
The next one I have, did you have any other? Sorry.
No, go ahead. Okay.
So the next one I have, Star Wars Darth Vader 1 and 2, Charles Soule. So I read the first trade of the last Darth Vader series, and it was fantastic.
Is that the first 12 issues?
Yes. I haven't read the second one yet, but I own the second one.
Not well worth it. I haven't read it yet.
So I'm in. I thought the first where they went with this character, I thought Darth Vader would be actually a very hard character to write, because he's, first of all, to write a compelling evil character as the main you know, character of a book is kind of hard. But especially Darth Vader, where you've seen most of the story, it's a very tight Star Wars world. So they have to be very careful on where they're going with other characters, make sure that they're not messing with, you know, the Star Wars timeline or anything like that. So right. To me, they're kind of pigeonholing certain stories, but they absolutely did a great job of making a compelling story. New characters, those two droids were was it Dr. Aphra? It was also a great character that came out of that. I'm in. I'm gonna read, you know, the part two of that first series, and I'm very interested in reading this as well.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. I was in for the Star Wars main series.
Yep.
And I thought I'd give Darth Vader a shot. Wasn't 100% sure, like you said, how they would crack that, but seeing how they intertwined those stories and made it work so well without like it, I really felt like they captured that world and the time where they were telling the story in between New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. And I talk to people who are big Star Wars fans, and I'm saying, you know, listen, if you like Star Wars in any, like, you have to read
it's amazing these,
it's canon now,
it's really
right?
amazing these
stories
yeah.
count, and they might show up, like Dr. Aphra might make an appearance in one of these movies at some point in time, because they can, right? She's a canon character,
and she's
now.
A great character. Yeah,
and she's a great character. Like, these are great additions to the Star Wars canon. I can't speak highly enough about Star Wars, about Darth Vader, even the Han Solo 5-issue miniseries. Superb, really good stuff.
I haven't read that. I gotta read that.
Yeah, that's a, it's a quick read, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So I'm definitely invested in these new Star Wars comics. My next one is also a Star Wars comic, and the reason is the cover. So Star Wars Darth Maul number 5. Cary Andrews cover, and as I was mentioning before, he has two very distinct cover styles, art styles, where he would do a very sort of stylistic sequential piece, but then when he's doing his covers, they're hyper realistic, beautiful paintings, and there's an amazing Cary Andrews variant cover for Darth Maul number 5 that I think I would just buy on its own.
He did, didn't he do some variant covers for the? Yeah, he did some for the Darth Vader line. Do you remember that cover? I don't know if you caught it in any of your trades, where it's just almost like a mugshot of Vader's mask, really close up and like shining.
Yeah, I think that was him. Yeah,
was him. Yeah, and I just, it was just so striking, that image, because. I didn't know it was him, but as soon as you see it, it's like, I got to pick this up. That Darth Vader mask is already striking as it is, but his variant cover was beautiful.
And this one is amazing, too. I would put that up on a wall, that picture. Yeah. It looks really great. And if you're a Darth Maul fan, then I'm sure it's probably a very good series, too.
I think everybody would agree he's probably the best thing that came out of the Phantom Menace, right?
Not midichlorians?
midichlorians.
I think so. I would say so. So the other thing I have is the Thor Omnibus, Walter Simonson, hardcover.
I got a sticky note there.
And I've been waiting for this to be reprinted for a long time. I read a lot of the original comics. It's probably my favorite Thor run ever. I don't think I've read the entire thing.
I second that.
I am 120% in. So, yeah, that's on pre-order.
I have all of these in a really nice re-release of the trades, where they're recolored and remastered. And, you know, five trade set, but, man, this is so tempting. Because I want Omnibus collections of the stuff that I really love, and yep. I've said to my wife, if I ever had to get rid of my trades, those five Thor trades would be ones that I have to keep. So this is definitely something that I'm debating on getting in omnibus form, because I love this series. It's fantasy, sci-fi, superheroes, like any, if you, I don't know, like I'd recommend it to anybody.
just the I think it was called The Ballad of Beta Ray Bill.
Yeah.
Is just an amazing, amazing story. What an entrance. What an entrance to that character. But yeah, I recommend that run. I think it's probably at least, again, I haven't read everything Thor, but everything that I've read Thor, this definitely stands out. There was also a recent Thor run, I think it was Godslayer or God...
God Butcher.
God Jason Butcher. Yeah. God Butcher is another one that I recommend that really impressed me when I read through that. But definitely, this one's a classic. So by all means, I mean, it's come out in Omnibus before, and it sells out, and it goes away. So I'm buying this. World War Hulk ties into...
Planet Hulk.
Planet Hulk is probably, again, one of my favorite Hulk stories of all time. World War Hulk was also pretty good. Probably not as good as Planet Hulk, but something I'd also be interested in potentially getting the two together.
They've announced the Planet Hulk omnibus, right?
Yes, I think it's coming out the same time or the month before.
Okay.
So they're like back-to-back. Planet Hulk and World War Hulk are coming out. And one that I've already ordered.
I know which one. I got my hand up.
All right, go. You.
Page 102, Master of Kung Fu, Shang-Chi.
That's correct, sir. So, yeah.
You've got the first three, correct?
I have the first three. So this is number four. So Shang-Chi is also one of my favorite characters. very underestimated character. A lot of people, like, he came out in the 70s, Kung Fu craze, where you saw a lot of these type of things, but he's not just a one-dimensional character. He is the James Bond of Kung Fu martial artists. Very similar to, I would say a little bit similar to Ninjak in the Valiant world, where there's sort of like a ninja spy. He's actually a British spy. Master of Kung Fu, Shang-Chi, really got more into that sort of world where he was a spy on top of being one of the greatest martial artists in the Marvel universe. So, yeah, absolutely. Number four.
Which cover are you going for? Do you want the David Mack cover or do you want the classic classic cover?
Now I got to look at it again. It's like,
do you get to choose if you order it online?
I think the... I think the David Mack cover is the online version, and then the original one is direct mail only. Okay. So I've already ordered the David Mack one, but I actually really like the David Mack one.
Okay.
I like both of them, but I'm not buying it twice.
Right. No. Not for the cover.
No.
I actually had 101 marked for the other Thor omnibus. There must be a Thor movie coming out at this time of year or something for them to be releasing this stuff.
Yeah.
Right,
especially the World War Hulk.
And yeah.
Yep.
Planet Hulk. I don't know if you read any of these. This was all after the Heroes Reborn event in the 90s where they almost completely... Where Marvel was not on the verge. They were almost bankrupt, right? And yes. They tried to get a little boosted business by getting the image creators to come back and have, you know, put their magic touch on the characters. But that didn't pan out so well. So when they brought all of the Avengers back into the regular 616 timeline, the Captain America from Mark Waid, the Kurt Busiek Iron Man, and then this Dan Jurgens Thor run are all pretty well received, well respected. I don't think this has ever been collected in omnibus form that I've seen.
This actually looks really interesting. I'm looking at the artists. John Romita Jr., John Buscema, that's my boy. Mike McCone, Eric Larson, like you were saying, the image guys. Andy Kubert, this is actually pretty impressive.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think that the from the regular series of the Mighty Thor, the first, like the 1-35, is all John Romita Jr.'s work. I read the first trade and I enjoyed it, so I'm debating on whether trying to find these trades in like the used bookstores and get them that way, or to have it in a nice hardcover collected. because I have the Kurt Busiek Sean Chen Iron Man, and I like that one. And I hear that they're also releasing the Mark Wade Captain America, which is a really, really good run from him. So I'd like to have these three, like the Avenger, the main Avengers in this era, all collected. So debating, but I don't know. You got the Simonson, the other one.
Yeah, I mean, I no brainer for me, Simonson one for sure.
Yeah,
I would be very interested in reading this run. I don't know if this is a must buy omnibus right now. There's so many to buy, but it does intrigue me because it looks like a pretty good run, and Thor is a cool character. So that's actually the last one I had. Did you have anything else?
Yeah, I got Thanos Volume 1 from Jeff Lemire and Mike Fidato Jr.
Yeah.
That looks like a fun trade to read. The art looks spectacular. Lemire's a great writer.
Yep.
And then just some more stuff that I trades that I collect, like Ms. Marvel. Then
right.
I grab that one, keep my collection going that way. And perhaps the Spider-Man Web Spinners. It's a complete collection. It's got a lot of cool writers and artists on this book. And it's 1 to 18. It's on page 135. I don't think I've ever seen or read any of these, so I'd possibly give this a chance because I am a sucker for Spider-Man. But after that, my catalog shopping is done.
Web Spinner. Yeah, I'm not too familiar with this. Web Spinners.
Me neither. Series. But when they're complete collections, I'm a little
bit
a sucker for, because it's like, okay, it's all here. Let me give it a shot.
Right. Yeah. You get the complete story.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is nice. You don't have to go hunting for other stuff. Okay. Well, I guess there you have it, folks. About 2 hours later. I thought this was going to go longer, but we'll try to make this somewhat of a regular occurrence if we can. I actually enjoyed it a lot, so I'm down if Mr. Eric Anthony is down.
I'm in. Or
Vigilanthony.
Vigilanthony.
Vigilanthony is down. Okay, so I'd like to thank Mr. Vigilante and the Cave of Solitude podcast for joining us for this episode. If someone's looking out for your podcast or looking to find you, where would they look?
Just go to caveofsolitude.com, or you can find us on iTunes. And if you want to send us any feedback, we got an email at caveofsolitude@outlook.com.
I highly recommend listening into that podcast. It's a lot of great fun, similar to what we're doing here. It's, again, something about comic books, but not just comic books. It's a lot about pop culture and other things, movies, a lot of things. So, and Eric Anthony, listening to that podcast and then I guess getting in touch with you really pushed me forward in doing mine. So I would like to thank you for that.
No problem. I'm so happy that you started your own. I think you're going to have a blast, and your show's going to be a runaway success. I'm happy to be a part of your first episodes. And if you want to hear more of Mr. Slam Duncan, you just come over to the Cave of Solitude, because he's going to be on our show as well. Hopefully you don't get too famous for us.
But there'll be some more collaboration. Also, thank you to Carlos Camara and the Gotham Central Comics and Collectibles for providing the preview catalogs to us.
Thank you very much.
Special thank you to my wife, Sue, for supporting me and letting me do this thing. Thank you to the listeners for coming along on this journey. And if you want to find out more, we're at www.thefastballspecial.com. And I do have an email address right now, thefastballspecial@gmail.com. Fastball Special out.